This is The John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to The John Richardson Show podcast with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
This week entitled Scabby Donkey. I'm looking at a scabby donkey.
Yeah, thanks, Beth. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Find out how rude that is on this week's show. As usual, some excellent voice notes that provide the platform for us to bounce off. Some good news stories, some good smugness. It's just good stuff,
it's
isn't
good it? Stuff. There's gear. There's good
it's
gear.
It's just good stuff. And
wall to wall.
A horrific piece of audio that I guess I shared voluntarily, so oh, I can't feel that
and
bad
it's
about
in the
it.
Last bit of the show, so guys, you got to keep going to the end of this one.
Keep going to the
there
end.
There is a reward.
To hear me before it all dropped, I was going to say into place, but around about the place. Enjoy the podcast. If it sparks off anything in your imagination and you want to get in touch, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
Good morning, happy Saturday. Thank you for joining us. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello, John.
And producer Will. Do you mind producer Will? I mean, you just Will, aren't you? You're not defined by your job, are you?
I don't know. Has he got much else going on? I don't know. Have you, Will? What else? What are your hobby? Watching darts, Will. Doesn't really fly off the tongue, does it?
I don't mind it. Not a lot of darts on at the moment. You've been watching the 100. Anyway, we'll get to all this. Sports back. Now, we begin every week with the unfinished business, which is, for those of you who weren't here last week, a chance to find out what you missed. I realise I've never done it in the way of previously on the John Richardson Show, which
like
seems an open goal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At the start of all the TV dramas, and I speak to my daughter every week about patience because her generation doesn't have to have any. It's not that they don't have any, they just don't have to have it because everything is there all the time.
Constant stimulation.
Constant stimulation. Well, not in my house. but I must admit, the angriest I get is when you can't skip the titles or a recap of a programme that you've just watched. They know we're watching Six back to back. They know I've got nothing to live for.
It's the old one, because we've been re-watching House, you know, with Hugh Laurie recently.
Yes.
And of course, that was before the days of streaming, really. And so you can't, it will sort of go back a little bit at the beginning of each episode,
infuriating.
Nothing to do about it.
Anyway, if you couldn't be here last Saturday, I have a feeling I know what this is going to be because it was my highlight, not just of the show, but of my week.
Oh.
Here's what happened last week.
Working for the beers.
I have laughed at that so much this week.
I think it's one of those things that I've been thinking about all the time on a low level, a bit like an earworm. A portion of my brain has always been thinking, it for the beers.
Working for the beers.
I guess download the podcast if it doesn't make any sense to you that, but
I did send the link to the ex-boyfriend in question who worked for De Beers.
Oh, that's nice though. Well done for being in touch with your exes, mind you. I don't know if you're in touch with the ones who don't work at Diamond Jewellers.
I know the ones to keep in touch with, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, during last week's smugness, I admitted that the thinly veiled takedowns were making me feel bad. So I suggested we perhaps start a new feature on the show where just for a little bit, I'm nice to people and about the world.
I don't think you can do it.
Well, let's see what Nige thinks.
Okay.
Hi, John. Last week, I heard you and Angela discussing how you should potentially do a feature around being nice and wholesome to listeners to counteract the smugness and I love you, but. My advice for you, don't. If you did have a be nice section, at best it would sound like barely concealed sarcasm. Don't do it. Cheers. Nige from Barnsley.
Straight up, Nige. That's exactly.
Yeah.
Nige is, I think, like the platonic ideal of our listener.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The sort of impression and vibe I get from Nige is, yeah, you're what we want.
And also, he's done it with quite a chirpy energy as well. So he's not said, listen, don't you ruin it. He's gone, hey up, Nige, everything's fine with me, by the way. Don't try and be nice. It's not your thing. Cheerio.
It was sort of done in an encouraging way, which was nice.
It was nice. I mean, it's sort of fundamental acceptance that I'm incapable of being sincere as a human being, which will obviously affect my relationships outside of the show. Now, this recap is usually the same thing, and it's the one thing that if you live your life the way I do and you point out every minor mistake of anyone around you, you have to accept when it's done back. So our listeners, get in touch and tell me the mistakes I've made, and Brian has done just that.
Ooh.
Hi, John. Not to be too much of a pedant, but on last week's show, at about 7 minutes past, you said you'd be with us for the next hour. So imagine my disappointment when 60 minutes later, you weren't with us and your show had ended. So please try to keep your timings as accurate as possible. Other than that, though, love the show. Cheers. It's Brian, always working for the beers.
No, that's really funny because I had Magic FM on in my car. I'm allowed that, aren't I? It's part of the same family as Absolute.
Yes.
And I had it on in my car and the presenter said exactly that. She said, it's 8 minutes past eight. I'm with you for the next hour. And I thought, you're not with us for the next hour. And now someone's picked us up on it. How funny.
Listen, spiritually, I was with Brian. He might not have felt it, but up until 7 minutes past the following hour, I was with him in spirit and then I left. Well, I don't know. How accurate do you want to be here then? We're with you for the next 2 hours,
53 minutes. I've got you back, John. Don't worry. I've got you back with the mental maths.
Right. What this will lead to, I mean, what that recap basically says is, John, don't be sincere and don't give any information because I'll just tell you it's not accurate enough. So I am a person with Angela Barnes. May I say a new and improved Angela Barnes?
Oh,
would that be unjust?
Thank you, John. That's very nice of you. Are you referring to my new ink?
That's what you got. You got inked this week, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I've got a tattoo on my upper arm of a little donkey.
Yes.
Little flowers and things. I've made it sound weird, but
it's very nice. It's beautiful.
Mate.
The colours on it are lovely.
She's done a really good job. She was a great tattoo artist, and it's so colourful and bright and lovely. Right now, it's really itchy, but that'll pass.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's not wrapped in that cling film stuff.
No, it's only on the first day they wrapped that. So now it's pretty much healed. It's a little bit. I mean, you can't see it. I won't show you too close up, but it's a bit flaky because it's sort of scabby. But once the scab comes off, it'll be fine. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, if it's not only working for De Beers, I think the other title for this show would be Once That Scab Comes Off, That'll Be Lovely. You didn't mention it at all last week, the tattoo. So was there a bit of doubt in your mind, or did you know it was happening, but you just didn't want to say until it was done?
Yeah, I knew it was happening, but I just wanted to wait and see what it was like and if I was happy with it and if I went through with it and if I didn't chicken out. But do you know
what it was like as a sketch or on you? Because once it's on you, it's not a haircut, is it? Once it's on, it's on.
But I mean, I was slightly worried that I'd change my mind. I knew what I wanted, but I didn't see the design. So I sort of gave the tattoo artist an idea of what I wanted and the sort
That's
of style
so
I wanted.
Brave.
But I didn't see the design until the day. So you go in and she went, here's the design, what do you think? And I went, yeah, whack it. And I'll be honest, it was better than I had imagined in my head. So I was thrilled.
It's yes, hence the
hours.
Phrase, whack it on there.
Whack it on there, mate. Just whack it on
whack
there.
Whack it on.
And then it took 3 hours and it was so... I was expecting it to be really painful, but it wasn't that bad. And I sort of dozed off at one point. It was quite... I found it quite weirdly relaxing.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, because my other one
Because that's
a bit
one
naked
of my
now.
Concerns is if I had a tattoo, I would have to have it somewhere central. Because I think I would sort of physically lean. You've got the one arm done, I would feel it pulling me in a certain direction.
It does feel a bit... Sort of, if I look in the mirror now, this other arm just looks a bit... I'm very pale skinned as well, and so it just looks a bit pasty now without. So I need some ink on that side to balance it out.
And it's linked to the powerlifting and stuff, isn't it? It's all about you finding a new confidence in your body.
Yeah, well, we get as women, we're often told, particularly when I was growing up in the 90s, you know, you'd get that horrible Heat magazine Circle of Shame. Do you remember that? Where they used to circle your bingo wings and
horrific.
Because, you know, you're not allowed to have bodies that just look like bodies. And so I've always been a bit shy of my upper arms. And since I've been powerlifting, I'm like, my arms are amazing. Like, I can really lift quite heavy stuff. And so I wanted them to be celebrated a bit more and not be shy of them and cover them up and hide them away. So I thought, if I make them look pretty, then I'll be more proud of them. And it's worked.
It's wonderful and empowering, and I wouldn't want people to think I'm always honest about the sort of person I really am. Mm. And when I have a link like this, which is all about confidence and praise, I want people to know that Angela's first message on the show WhatsApp was, I love it so much, I'm going to go out and get some sleeveless tops.
Yeah.
And I snidely replied, yes. I work in the fashion industry and we call them vests.
Yeah, that was your first comment on my new tattoo. Thanks, John.
What is the symbolism of the donkey?
I love donkeys. It's that simple. When I was little, wow. I had a great aunt who had a little cuddly donkey in her house that I used to play with. And I loved this donkey. And then she died when I was about 8 and I got the donkey. And since then, everyone bought me cuddly donkeys and things.
Well,
I
didn't want to say, because it was one of the first links we ever did on this show, was the prevalence of donkeys in your house and how you wanted people to get you fewer donkeys.
Yeah,
perhaps,
I've got enough donkeys. But I never had one on me. So this is just... I feel like this is... Oh, my God.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
Behave.
Let's have a little break. It's a beautiful ink. I look forward to seeing the other side. If you want... I'm the only uninked member of the team at the moment, so if you want to suggest what I should have on my body...
I've got some suggestions, John.
But you want to see a donkey on me? It's John at absoluteradio.co.uk. I'm just trying to be as specific as possible now. So you're listening to Absolute Radio, or you're listening to Absolute Radio 90s, or you're... I mean, I can't do
go
all of them,
go through all the decade stations. We'll be here forever.
You've got the radio on, and this is my fourth link of the show. Yeah? Is that accurate enough for you?
Oh, it's hard being a pedant, isn't it, John? Because you have to practice what you preach. I feel for you, I do.
I know. Well, on the subject of that, we've had an email in about pedantry and how much you should let it ruin your life. I mean, obviously, I would advocate for completely and absolutely.
Yeah.
What better thing to commit your life to? But here's a question from listener Neil.
Hi, John and Angela. I have a question for you both. I was channel surfing during the week and the iconic film No Time to Die popped up yet again. But what I would like to know is this. Just how many times since first pursuing Dr. No, Spectre and all the other crazed criminal masterminds has 007 been shot at by the baddies and the shots have missed? I don't know if I'm the only one who has these thoughts when watching films, but plot holes like this can really detract from my enjoyment of the film. So, John and Angela, am I alone in this? Best wishes, Neil in Silverton, Devon.
Interesting. Producer Will did say to me, oh, we've got a query about plot holes. And I thought he said potholes. And I thought, great, at last, someone's doing something about plot holes. But no, okay, plot holes, fine.
I mean, I'm sure we get emails about plot holes.
I'm sure we do. I'm sure we do.
They
but it's not our jurisdiction, is it?
Do you know what? I've noticed a few potholes getting filled in lately.
There were today by Preston Park Station in Brighton. When I got on the train this morning, I noticed they'd started to fill some in, so...
It's over the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. That's
it. It really annoy me, the amount of roadworks you get in the summer, because they're almost like they're saying, well, the real people are having the summer off. And there's only a few people who continue to work, like comedians, and they'd shut motorways at night.
Oh,
and it was almost like saying,
of the motorways.
Well, we can't stop the real people getting to proper jobs. You're a clown, so you can go via Tiverton.
Exactly that. It's when you... Because where I live, to Brighton, you know, the last bit of my journey is pretty much the M25 and then come on, and then they shut it. So I think I've done the big bit of the journey and then suddenly...
Yeah. It's where you try and best a diversion. You're like, no, it's not that way. I bet if I nip down there, I'll come down. Made it worse.
We've diverted somewhat from what we were talking about. The second thing I was going to say about Neil's voice note was that I've never seen a James Bond film.
Not one, never, ever. Not even a single one, not never.
Not never, ever seen one.
Oh.
Which is, and also because I'm a bit of a Cold War... buff. I like spy stories and things like that, but I'm more John le Carré than Ian Fleming, and I've just never watched one.
It's really difficult to know where to start now, because I don't think you start at the beginning now, but equally I don't think you start with Daniel Craig either. Oh, I wouldn't know what to tell you to do.
You know him, my friend, the comedian, the brilliant Michael Fabry.
Yes.
He's a big Bond fan and it really annoys him that I've never watched one. So... in the sort of 15 years that I've known Michael, it's become, I've sort of deliberately not watched one just to annoy him.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, well, if you're doing to annoy a friend, I think you should carry on.
So I feel like I need to carry on, yeah.
I think you do need to watch, I You've got to watch one of the classics.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, and you were saying earlier, the voice note, and you'd had the same thought about someone. I also was flicking through the channels this week and stumbled across No Time to Die. And I'd never seen it before, and I watched it in full. And the ending, it blew my mind. Really? I don't know how I've missed it. I mean, it won't affect you at all. No. I don't think. I'm allowed to plot spoil things that are already out, aren't I, once it's been on telly?
Yeah.
He dies at the end of it.
Bond?
Yeah.
Bond's dead?
What?
He dies at the end of it. There's a big... I mean, it's a bit like The Rock.
I mean, I know this Nicolas is a stupid Cage. Question, but I'm assuming that is the last Bond film that came out then.
It must be. Let me check. It's No Time to Die. But, I mean, I did exactly what Neil did. I was flicking through.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, like, you could always watch it. That's the joy of Bond. You can always watch a bit of it because they're all the same.
Right, yeah.
So there's a baddie and then they're going to blow some up and he saves the day. There's been like 200 of these things and we've all agreed it's like The Simpsons. As long as it ends back where it started, we can carry on. This one is absolutely bonkers. So maybe you start with that one.
Then I don't need to watch any others.
I feel like this might be the most significant link I've ever done. I feel like I've got to the end and I've said, oh, did you know James Bond's dead? People now are slamming the brakes on the M25. I mean, it also does end by saying James Bond will return. So I assume...
Oh, is it like a Sherlock Holmes, Reichenbach Falls type thing?
I tell you what, the way he goes, I'd be surprised if he comes back from that. But...
Wow. Maybe,
yeah. Anyway, I now I've said that James Bond definitely returns. I don't want people to think I'm the new Bond. However,
because we were all thinking it.
Well,
Grouchy Smurf to Bond is a natural progression.
I hate getting shot at. Right. Thank you for your voice note, Neil. If you want to send us in a voice note that we miss here and then go on a 10-minute ramble about potholes, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. It's the start of, I was going to say, a spell of, shall we say, more negative.
We're in that bit of the show, aren't we? The sort of negative stretch, I like to call
it. I want
to
say how long it's going to go on for, but since the listener has been so keen for me to be specific, I can't say, listen, for the next 27 minutes and 4 seconds, I'm going to be a little bit sarcastic. But Smugness is coming up after the news. This is your chance to be a little bit mean. It's the I Love You But. It's a dedication, but it has to end with something nasty about the person you want a dedication for, because I am a poisonous little troll. And this week, it comes from Steve.
Hi, John. Really appreciate you giving me this week's I Love You But. I'd like you to dedicate a song to my lovely wife, Carol. Carol, thank you for everything you do. You make me incredibly happy, and I love you very much. But please, would you try and put things back in the right place in the kitchen cupboards? I know you're a bit shorter than me, so reaching the top of the cupboards isn't easy. But I bought you those IKEA steps for a reason, to avoid the exact issue. I'm always finding things like cans and tins and all sorts left on the work surface or in the wrong place. So please, don't be afraid to use the steps. They're safe, I promise. Your loving husband, Steve. P.S. John, your bit on dishwashers is also true in my house. If my wife stacks it, I have to restack it to make sure it's done properly. There's an art to it. Cheers, mate.
Are you sure that's not my husband changing the names?
it's the thing I will be known for is how to stack a dishwasher and how not to detect a carrot in a shoebox. It's fine. 20 years in the business. It's a pleasure to be known for anything. I liked that one because it started off a little bit saccharine and I was slightly worried, but then the nastiness went on a lot longer.
Way longer than the sweet bit, yeah.
I liked the little steps. Oh, Carol, I am but a fool. You know I love you. That's why I got you this stool, so you can reach the top shelf. So,
Bravo,
for Carol...
That was beautifully done.
Thank you very much. Good luck to the pair of you, is all I can say. Fancy trip to IKEA to get some little steps.
Oh, there's a new IKEA opening in Brighton this week. I'm very excited.
Oh, well, you can go there so long as you buy passive-aggressive gifts for your husband.
I certainly will.
That's the bar that has been set by Steve. This is for you, Carol, if you want to be next week's dedication. It's john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show. John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Good morning, it's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
It's that time of the week when the other stations are all celebrating people who've done park runs and had a wash or, I don't know, smiled at someone in the street, all the
got
sickening
dressed.
Stuff that goes on. Well done. What have you? Oh, you've had some granola. Oh, you baked overnight oats, did you?
Get who has yourself. Time for over? Who thinks about what they're going to have for breakfast the night before? Please.
Well, I've...
Are you an overnight oater?
I'm not an overnight oater. I have been known to birch a muse in my time. I read somebody reposted a Tom Hollander interview about his morning this week, and he said he bakes these chewy, salty, savoury oats that go almost like a flapjack, and you have them with salt and olive oil, mm-hmm. like little biscuits with a coffee in the morning. And I thought, I might have to try that. But rest assured, if I do it, I won't be smug about it. I'll say, actually, they were nauseating. They made me feel sick and I ate too many.
Good.
So I begin by asking you to say something you're proud of. I mean, you've had a tattoo this week.
I've had a tattoo. I'm quite proud of that. Yeah, and I did have a little doze, so that I was quite smug about that.
That's quite cool.
But my big smugness mm-hmm. this week is, so we're hoping to be moving house soon. This is a bit of a saga. But we decided to sort of have a bit of a clear out of where we're living now, get rid of some stuff. You know, so we cleared out the garage and the kitchen and the bathroom cabinets and all of that. But the thing I'm smug about is, so we've getting rid of quite a lot of old furniture, and a lot of it was in the garage. And I've got a friend who is a fire forensics officer. So she, if there's been a fire, she goes in and sort of works it all out. And she trains other people to do the job. And so for their training, they need things to burn. So what she does, she comes around. If you've got furniture and stuff to get rid of, she comes around to my house and she takes it all in a van.
Wow.
And they set it up, like, make a room out of your furniture. And then she sets fire to it and sends me the video of my stuff burning. It's quite cool, isn't it? My friend Emma came and collected all the stuff this week. So any day now, I'm going to get a photo, a video of our old furniture burning.
Wow. Do you know, that did not go in the direction I was expecting it to. I thought the smugness was going to be, so I got in touch with the British Heart Foundation and it's all going to a new home. And instead, my mate's come back, he's going to set fire to it.
But for a good reason.
To train people how to investigate
fires.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I think my garage in itself is a week's training for those people.
I'll send her around with a van. She'll come and get it.
If she wants some stuff, she can have it. I've got, let's not go into the tat that's in my garage. Can I just, before we get to the garage, you put a picture on the WhatsApp this week of your kitchen.
Oh, yeah, mid-tidy. When you get
mid-tidy.
To that point. Yeah.
Now, what happened there? Because that was an upsetting picture. That was like a video of you being chased down a street without any resolution of you then safely back at home. I looked at that kitchen and I thought, well, now you have to move because you can't go into your kitchen anymore. That is a disgrace. Did you finish the job?
We finished. I say we. My husband mainly did the kitchen and I mainly did the bathroom. But
famous for clutter the bathroom.
We had this big cabinet in the bathroom that was full of old medication and all sorts of stuff. So I cleared that out. But it got done. It's now all the insides of the cupboards, the tops of the cupboards, everything is spotless now.
I'm not sure what the environmental implications are of moving house and getting everything set fire to by your mate. But
reason. We didn't just set fire to it in a park.
I would need to see some sort of certificate to be sure that that's what your friend's job is. I think your friend may just be a pyromaniac who's invented an elaborate ruse. Yeah, I'll come round your garage. You're not using that sofa. Well, I'm sat on it at the minute. Go on, jump up. Let me set fire to it. I'll have a quick set fire to your couch. But I didn't know that was a job. So congratulations. Commiserations to the planet, I guess, but a fun thing to do. A good
fires
way of having
happen,
a clear
John,
out.
And they need to be investigated.
Yeah, okay. All right. I don't think I've quite done the job, but we will come back to the pyromaniac friend. I'd like to see a certificate is all I'm saying.
I'll get some sort of official certification for you.
Okay, I've seen a picture and a website that suggests that Angela does has a friend who will come round to your house, pick up furniture and set fire to it.
There you go. I told you she was legit. It's fine. I mean, Will did say anyone can make a website, but they've got T-shirts and vans and everything.
And what will they do when they dissolve the company? Set fire to everything in their fields, of course. Now, we've heard what Angela's smug about. If I'm honest, I don't think I really took you down there.
I think
it's because you've hit on my specialist subject, which is clearing burning and tidying things. The house up. Setting fire to stuff and having a good tidy up.
Yeah.
That's what I'm into. So, you know, I'll let you away there.
I thought they'd press the right buttons.
We've had a message in from Andy, who has a question about smugness, and here it is.
Hi, John. I need your help, mate. I know you like bringing people down a peg or two, and I know someone who definitely needs that. Mark Gaffer. He's the smuggest man alive, not even necessarily about some certain things. Basically, he's just got an air of smugness about him, whether he's telling people what to do, leaving 10 minutes early because he's the gaffer, or even just the way he walks. He's just an incredibly smug bloke. Given it is like you say, a specific smugness that's happened this week, are you able to help? I'd love to hear how I can make him a little bit less smug. It's a bit exhausting. Cheers, Joe.
I love the word gaffer.
Yes. That's yeah, well, I had a concern that at some point it was going to be revealed that that was somebody putting on a voice and it's somebody who works here, and that it turns out I'm the gaffer. I don't know if that's just my paranoia leaking through there. But when we got
how good's your Brummie accent?
It did sound a little bit like the comedian Andy Robinson.
Do you know, I thought that, and his name is Andy, but who's his gaffer? He's a comedian.
Yeah, well, that's it. He
doesn't have a gaffer.
Employed by the audience.
Mm.
It's very tricky with a boss, isn't it? Because obviously you can't do anything that's going to come back on you.
Mm.
So I think you've just... I sort of need to see the walk.
I think really, if, you know, it's just the walk, it's the fact he's a bit... it's him being the boss and he's got a smugness about that.
Yeah.
I think, Andy, really, you know, deep in your heart, that this... The only reason this man is smug is because of his job. It's a bit sad.
Yeah.
Oh. Just doesn't like that line of thinking.
Well, it's
You've got
it's
other
all
things to be smug about.
It's
John.
All getting a bit pot calling the kettle black for me. listen, we've all got stuff we're proud of. I'm 5'9" with a little bald spot, but I got my own radio show. I think. I don't know how many people work in the company. The way I would go is a series of pranks. If you look into just bringing just that element of fear, the walk will change, I guarantee. All you've got to do is get a pug and get one of those little spider outfits on it coming out of the lift. And I guarantee that walk will change overnight. Nice. And if you do film them, I would like to watch them. Yours was a very spiritual answer, Angela.
Mm.
Yours is more about just fundamentally questioning what the man stands for. I've gone down the torture route. Andy, keep in touch. Let us know which way you decide to go with it. If you want to have assistance with somebody you're going to encounter who's particularly smug, and it's not somebody doing a voice to secretly insult me, Matt Ford's back on air. There's something I'm not comfortable with what's going on. I'm going to listen to that voice note again. I'm going to just make sure it's not Fordy, because he's done me before. He did me years ago. He sent me a voice note, putting a voice on, and I fell for it hook, line and sinker.
Because he's really good at voices.
His
voice that's his thing, isn't it?
It was a really free... He did like a posh voice, and he said, look, I don't know why you haven't been in touch. I thought we had something special together. I thought, oh, my God, what have I done? Who the hell is this? Never forgiven him for it. So I'm convinced that Andy might be Matt Ford. But if he's not and you want to be on next week's Smugness, it's John at absoluteradio.co.uk. I have a question, Angela.
Oh.
I've got two questions, actually.
Okay.
One is about your ongoing, because shortly we will be returning to your predictions for football scores and for the whole season.
Yes.
The hat has arrived. The
has signed it?
Lando Norris hat. Yeah,
I'm so excited.
So that next time I see you, I'll bring that to you. It was the Hungarian Grand Prix recently, right?
Yes.
And your husband didn't do a goulash, which
he
blew my mind.
Because he did a goulash last year.
Right.
And also because he had to do something that was Hungarian, but also suitable for my strict gallbladder diet.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So he did like a Hungarian fish soup thing. It was very
That's
nice.
A remarkable effort. Here's the thing that I had a moment this week. I'm not a religious man, Angela.
No. Yeah.
However, at school you do your prayers in the morning and all that, don't you?
Yeah.
I remembered this week. I'm going to play you a clip of me when I was 10 years old later on.
God,
and this 10-year-old. I don't know how I've suppressed this memory for so long, but you put your hands together to do a prayer.
Yeah.
So I was of the belief at that age that that's basically like phoning God, is when you put your hands together.
That's the connection.
And I believed that at any point where your hands touched, you were communicating directly with God. And
Will has his head in his hands right now.
I used to. I'd be lying in bed, you know, just like your hands are just together on your chest. And I think, yeah, oh my, what have I been thinking for the last 10 minutes? I've basically like butt dialed God and just been yammering away to him. I don't know what he was
but
doing. Hang on, John's ringing.
Beautiful logic that I love that child logic that you go, well, obviously, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Why else would you put your hands together if that's not how you send the prayer directly to God?
There must be some sort of linking happens, and that's, maybe that's true.
But you've just done it now. You've put your hands together even having that conversation. Oh. So
I was God part has... of you a bit nervous about what I might say while I've got my hands together.
Well, what you're thinking and all the guilt that you carry as a child.
If he can see my thoughts, then we're in real trouble.
It's such a stress, because I think about it a lot, because obviously my daughter's sort of around that age now, and I think, I wonder how many little things she's worried about that she doesn't tell me. I never told anyone this. 42 before I've owned up to the fact, and I still think it now a little bit.
Yeah.
If my hands are together, I think, don't think anything filthy, don't think anything filthy.
But as soon as you think, don't think anything filthy, you're thinking filthy things.
Certainly don't think that.
No.
Right, it's this is my penance, is cleaning up the nation's grammar. So
right.
For all the sins of my past, I'm putting them right now by being pernickety about the misuse of the word literally. So it's time for the literal police here on Absolute Radio. Now, I say the literal police, it's sort of spinning off now. Last week we had a suggestion that we should be tackling more misuse of percentages.
100%.
100% we should be tackling
100%
it.
100% we should.
I 96.4% agree. off the back of that, Terry has been in touch with another suggestion for something we should be tackling.
Hi, John. I know a fellow listener mentioned a branch off to the literal police last week. Well, I wanted to suggest one too. What is it with, especially sports people, starting a sentence with, yeah, no? It's not no. The first time I heard it was from Troy Bayliss, the fantastic super bike rider from years ago. I hear lots of sports people starting a reply to a question with, yeah, no. The worst culprit is England striker Harry Kane. I realise it's probably beyond your remit to take any action, but could a general warning be broadcast, perhaps? I'd be over the moon if something could be done. Thanks, Terry in Suffolk.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about this one.
Right.
To the point where, because it used to really wind me up,
Does it?
The yeah, no thing. And I've had to come up with what I think is a justification. But so that people understand the sort of thing we're talking about, he's mentioned Harry Kane there. So here is Harry Kane doing that exact thing.
Yeah, no, it's important, you know. Yeah, no, enjoying it a lot, obviously. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic again, obviously. yeah, no, massive.
Yeah, no, definitely.
When you cut them all together sounds deranged.
It does sound deranged, but I assume that's over a period of time. This is a one question.
I quite like these things, though. I quite like... German has loads of them. The German language, like, they have the word doch and stuff. They call them modal particles, these sort of bits of language that don't really carry meaning, but they sort of do, but... And it's the vernacular, and it just makes somebody... It's all part of someone's personality, isn't it, when they use it?
Well, he is out in Germany now, so perhaps he's picking up on that.
He's picked it up.
I think it first started when he was asked if he was going to stay at Spurs. That's when he picked up this habit of, But do you think they'll win anything? Yeah, no.
It's funny, actually, in German, people often start with na ja, which is sort of the other way around. No, yeah.
Oh, is that no,
na
yes?
Yeah.
I think... Because I'm with you, Terry, and I hear it, and it grated on me for a long time. And I've just decided the yeah is a reflexive acknowledgement of the question. It's kind of like, well, when you see a politician say, well, that's actually a very good question, or that's a very interesting question. It's a way of buying yourself a little bit of time. And I think the yeah is saying, yes, I appreciate that point. That's a good question. And then the no is the start
of the
response.
To the... I think there's something in that. It is, because when you ask the question, you need to buy yourself a little bit of time to think about what your answer is, don't you? So I quite like these little bits of language. It just adds a bit of flavour, a bit of character to your sentences. Enjoy them.
Yeah, that's the only way, because the yeah, no is everywhere, Terry. Mm. So the only advice I can give you is learn to live with it. We will... The literal thing, however, we can imprison people for that.
We're not absolutely. That them. Is unforgivable.
When we started this, I thought, I wonder how long it'll run for. Oh, there's no sign of it stopping, is there?
People aren't learning, are they? It's no. Not the deterrent we thought it would be.
And every now and again, we do celebrate the use of it correctly, but it's very rare. Because then, the thing is, people who use it correctly then tend to get into overuse, and they say it a lot.
Yeah, they get a bit cocky. They get a bit sort of, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
There's a heck of a lot on YouTube, and it's because we sort of try to be up to date with it. But my daughter was watching some YouTube videos this week. Absolutely. Mr. Beast is a big overuser of literal, unspeakable,
it's
all these guys.
It's a problem with the young, isn't it? The Gen Zs are, I'm sorry, Will, but your people are offending.
It's the hyperbole. They haven't. They're too young to accept the ultimate tedium of life.
They still have hope. That's the thing.
They still believe that stories are of relevance and interest, but they'll find out.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paul's been in touch with this week's nomination.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report, and it's another one from the world of Formula One. So I'm feeling a little bit lost now that the summer break is on, and I was scrolling for any news on where the drivers may be going next season, and I came across a clip from George Russell saying that he feels literally no stress about where he'll be driving next year. Now, I personally find this quite hard to believe because, I don't know about you, but potentially moving employers is enough to cause anybody at least the tiniest amount of stress. So please, if you could, investigate. That would be most welcome. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. This is a very tricky one.
I mean, without being George Russell, how can we possibly...
No.
Say,
let's say we may pick on something from the way he's saying it. Because there are
context.
Ways to say, do you know what? I feel literally no stress about next season. I tell you what, mate. I literally couldn't be less stressed. So what do you think about that? There's a clue in that. So let's, before I play the clip, tell me your feelings on George Russell, because we know you're a strong influence.
Do you know, I feel very, what's the word? I feel like he's a bit of a soulmate, George Russell. And explain why.
Okay.
Because... like George Russell, I do a job that objectively is very cool, right? I get to be on the radio with John Richardson. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm doing a cool job.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am inherently uncool. And I really feel like that is, like, George Russell is a Formula One driver. That is one of the coolest, only 20 people in the world at a time get to be that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool job. Yet he is Alan Partridge's love child. Like, there's no getting on. He's from Norfolk. He just says things. I love him, but he's a nerd doing a cool job.
Oh,
so I feel
I didn't
that
know
sense
that.
Of. Sort of kinship with him.
Oh, you've really fought the case for him there, because now I really like it.
Yeah.
Having not known anything about him, if he's Alan Partridge in a Formula One car.
He is.
I'm picturing, Norfolk Ring Road, third time round. Here we go. Let's hear the quote in question.
What can you tell us about your future at Mercedes and longer term past this season?
From my side, there's literally no stress, no worries whatsoever. I think when it comes to contracts, everyone gets so excited about it.
Sounds pretty chill.
He does sound very chill.
Yeah. I think maybe he's not that stressed. And also, he'll know more about where he's going to be next season than the press do.
Yeah, I think he's in a grey area there. But as you say, we can't prove that he is stressed.
No.
So for now, he has to get away with it. So George Russell is free to continue about his life. Now, this one has been spotted by Charlie from the show, producer Charlie. It comes from a very popular husband and wife podcast.
Ooh.
Here it is.
The love that you give me is enough.
Right.
You don't leave us alone. You literally do not leave me alone. You are obsessed with me. You are.
Oof.
So that's Rosie Ramsey with Chris there from, can we say the name of the podcast? No,
from we can't. Podcast. Please don't say the name of the podcast, but yes.
All right. I'm happy not to plug other people's podcasts. They're doing
do
all
they
right,
even
aren't
have
they?
A podcast?
You literally don't leave me alone.
Well, here's the thing. John, as you know, Chris Ramsey's a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. I have gigged with Chris Ramsey since he's been married to Rosie Ramsey.
Was she there?
No.
Okay.
Case closed, right?
In you go. Well, sometimes it's easy, isn't it?
It's just a slam dunk, yeah.
And it tends to be easier the more directly related you are to our sphere of work. Bye-bye, Rosie. You've had a good run at it. Well done on your podcast. Well done on Taskmaster. You are in literal prison. If you spot an offence and you want us to slam somebody up, I've got Alan Partridge there as well. It's because you mentioned it.
I don't know, slam someone up. I think
he's got me banged to rights.
I don't think he slams someone up.
If you want me to slam dunk on anybody who misuses the phrase literally, the word literally, oh no. Right, John at absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Welcome back. It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes here on Absolute Radio. Here, not for a full hour. Let's be honest. let's be literal about this. We will be here until this hour ends, and then we will go about our business. So if you're going to tune in at 7 minutes past and expect us still to be here, it's not going to happen. Now it's that time of the week when we discuss news that wasn't in the news that could or perhaps should have been in the news, because the news is bleak and we tend not to talk about the things that are just a bit of fun. So have you found a story that is a bit of fun?
I found a great story. This should have been all over the news, this, because this is the best news I've heard in a long time. And that is that an Australian brewer is on the hunt for a chief beer taster.
I think that might
be my dream job. Like, not just any old beer taster, the queen of beer tasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the Asahi-owned Carlton and United Breweries. They're looking for a new beer taster. Mm-hmm. The role is available. Now, this is amazing because the incumbent has retired. She is Tina Panoutsos, and she stepped down after 3 decades, John.
Oh,
I imagine it's because of liver problems, but we'll skip over that. 3 decades as a beer taster. What a life Tina has had.
I'd like to think as well that it doesn't, because if you're doing it for 3 decades, it's obviously not putting you off, is it?
No. So it must be a lot of variety, lots of different beer. She said that you have to, she's doing 30 beer tastings a day. And she said you have to score each sample out of 9. You're looking for any abnormalities. The only thing, you can't drink coffee before you taste the beer. So that's what, if you like your coffee in the morning, that's going to be a no-no.
I mean, if you like your beer in the morning, I'd say that's a bigger problem than the coffee, to be honest. Fair play, 3 decades.
3 decades of 30 beer tastings a day. Is beer tasting like wine, though? Do you spit it out? That's a waste, isn't it?
I think you would have to, yeah, if you're doing it all day, every day. I went to a pub yesterday, and this hasn't happened. It's only happened once in my life.
Right.
I ordered a beer and he said, do you want to try this? It's buy one, get one free. Which, I mean, how often
dangerous.
Do you hear that in a pub? Well, it was.
I've ever seen a buy one. Were you on your own in the pub?
I was on my own,
No, which... that's dangerous. That's really dangerous.
I did say that to him. I said, in this seat, you're trying to kill me. which was banter that backfired. I think he thought I was genuinely angry. But I stuck with my initial choice because he was trying to steer me. I was on the hand pull and he was trying to get me on the lagers.
Oh, no. You don't want to be drinking buy one, get one free lagers on your own in a pub, John.
Well, that's it. You do.
Starting a fight with your reflection in the mirror. I mean, it's just not going to end well, is it?
I didn't want to have to say to him, can I have one now and then come back for my other one in a little bit when I've finished? That sound absolutely pathetic. I don't want to have two now because I'm only little and it'll get hot. Well, where do you apply for this job then? This is Carlton and United Breweries.
Yeah.
I assume
I'd move to Australia for that, I think. It's been lovely doing this show and everything, but come on. I don't get 30 beers a day here, do I?
No, well, I'm sure you could send an email. I don't think I've got a remarkably tedious palate. I don't think I could spot anything about beer. Mm. I like these quirky personalities, though. There was one on the BBC website this week, and it felt like you don't hear these sort of headlines anymore. Maybe they're a thing of the 80s and 90s. Someone who eats 32 plates of peas a day. Oh. You know, you just find these...
just weird eaters.
Kooky people. It's like the person who has Christmas every day.
To quote another podcast, I'm sorry to do this, but I did Off Menu. podcast, and one of my things on there was I love peas in a bowl, a bowl of peas mixed with salad cream. That's like my comfort food.
Oh,
and
I
it started such
sauce.
A debate, but no, but peas and salad.
What
cream.
Was the debate about that? That's fine, isn't it? Peas and salad cream.
I think so, but some people, lots of people, were like, "Yes, I eat peas with salad cream as well." Some people tried it and went, "Oh, I didn't think I was going to like it, but it's brilliant because it's the best snack ever." And other people were disgusted.
Okay. If you're disgusted by Angela, then do get in touch. john@radio.co.uk. A full search and rescue happened in British Columbia this week.
Goodness.
So volunteers were sent out in the middle of a training session. They were deployed to Boulder Fields, which is a sort of popular hiking and climbing destination, after two concerned people called 911. They could hear cries coming from the wilderness. We responded with a full contingent of members, two RCMP officers and a drone team. Early responders heard faint yelling but couldn't make out what was being said. They also sent two Mounties, in case you were in any doubt that
that's
this was
what
a Canadian
the RCMP
story.
Are.
Send the Canadian Mounted
send
Police
the
out. So you've got a drone, you've got a full search and rescue team, you've got two Mounties.
Wow.
Looking for the location of this crying and screaming. We eventually located a lone camper singing in absolutely fine, this
he
guy.
Fine.
Absolutely fine. Just gone out for a little walk, decided to have a little bit of a sing song in the trees. Liked the acoustic of the trees, but unaware that the acoustics of the Boulder Fields had turned his tent-side concert into an accidental distress signal. He wasn't in trouble, unless you count his singing.
I wonder what he was singing. Does it say? It doesn't say.
No, it doesn't say what he's singing, but I can see that. I like... there's a...
Oh, he was singing Nickelback, How You Remind Me. I don't know why that's perfect, but it is.
Yeah, you've got to go some way to making that sound up. I mean, like, distress.
Yeah, it's quite tuneful.
It's not like you. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm getting into it now. I think I'm going to drive to some woodland when the show finishes today.
Are you a singer? Because I remember when I first passed my driving test and the first time I drove in a car on my own, because I'm not a good singer. I think we've covered that before.
Yeah,
but I'd never in my life like belted out a song, because I used to mime singing at school. I don't sing in the shower or anything because I know it doesn't sound good. But in a car on your own, that was the first time I realised that no one can hear me.
Yes,
and it was such a great feeling.
Have you ever done that? So I do this because every now and again I'll be driving and I'll be coming back from a gig and it's late and I'll put some music on loud and I'll blast it out. I like a bit of Rufus Wainwright. And
I love a bit of Rufus. Yeah.
I think I'm nailing this. What I recommend you do at that point is when you're really into the song, turn the music off and just hear the noise you're making. I'll tell you what, if you want to be brought back down to earth with an absolute thud, I've had times where I was like, maybe I'll do the Masked Singer if they ask the next series. And then I'll turn Rufus off and think, oh my God, that is a distress call. If I do that in the woods, helicopters are being brought out.
No.
Right, you are going to hear from my musical origins very shortly. It's our final link for the Britpop summer and a radio exclusive.
So excited.
This summer has been about one thing on Absolute Radio, Britpop.
Oh.
Everyone's talking about it.
And De Beers.
And De Beers. Yeah. Britpop and De Beers.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cartoon.
If anyone didn't listen last week, they're really going to wonder what we keep going on about.
Yeah, I listened to some Absolute this week and I was listening to it's brilliant, the Britpop stuff.
Yeah.
When you get the tunes and then you get the DJs who were there at the time. I just can't do it. Because I wasn't there. But there's been some Louise Wenner and Tim's Listening Party. It's been a cracking summer. It continues on Absolute Radio, but this will be our final dip into the Britpop summer. You can still have your say on absoluteradio.co.uk on the best Britpop anthem of all time.
I don't know how you choose.
It's so personal, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's so personal to what you were doing and where you remember the song. You know, Oasis, Blur, Pulp, this Ocean Colour Scene, Suede, Supergrass. The top 100 will be revealed on Friday, the 22nd of August. Voting closes tomorrow, so get your votes in now, absoluteradio.co.uk. So I discovered this week some footage, what I was doing in 1992. So 93, I think, that's when Blur and Suede's albums come out. That's sort of the start of that era.
Yeah.
I'm 9, 10 years old.
Oh, little John.
Little John is making radio shows.
Oh, that's so adorable.
With a play and record cassette player, little microphone. So my friend Lee and I created Rocket Radio.
Rocket Radio.
In no way related to Rainbow Radio, which my sister was doing with her friends. And any accusations that we stole the idea.
It was a real... What I love, we had a little chat before the show about this because you had Rocket Radio. I used to make a little radio show with my friend Joanne and we were the J&A show. And then Will had a little radio show as well, didn't you, Will, called Funky Radio?
Funky FM.
Yeah. Funky FM.
So there's the generational difference. You filmed yourself, didn't you? You had video of you doing the links.
We just had a little tape cassette recorder. It was pink, the one we used.
You still got that video, Will?
It will never see the light of day. So let's just leave that there.
Okay. Well, I know your mum.
Oh yeah, we'll give Debbie a call.
Yeah, maybe you're not in control of where that footage goes. Anyway, I foolishly have sent Will a link because I do think it's been lovely going back, and I've been very scathing about my time as a young man, and there's a lot I look back on and think I wish I'd done differently. I never saw Oasis live. I didn't do a lot of things in the 90s that I think I should have been doing as a teenager. But what I was doing is making radio shows with the dream of one day having my own radio show. Aww. I wrote in those diaries I'd love to be a comedian, and now I'm a comedian with a radio show. So I can play this safe in the knowledge that it all turns out all right, because otherwise this is tragic. But this is Lee, my friend, and myself making a radio show, which miraculously we were allowed to play in class. Our teacher let us put lesson time aside to play Rocket Radio to the whole class.
Did anyone else make radio shows? It was just you and Lee?
Just me and Lee.
I bet the teacher was like, oh, good, I can have a little nap for that.
I think that's what it was, yeah. I mean, it ended when we sang a whole song together. I think we sang God Gave Rock and Roll to You in full without any musical backing, and she said that's probably enough of that. We'd read from Look In magazine, but this is... I've picked the most excruciating. This is how the show used to start. It's me and Lee. I think this was on the inside cover of my diary or my journal, which is where we found this. This is me and Lee performing the Funky Dude rap, and it is from 1992. Amazing. Here we go.
Yo, everybody, John is my name. And getting to be funky, well, that's my game. As my Funky Dude rap gets me on the move, I get as a new funky day gets me ready to groove. I get up in the morning, I don't want to go to school. Putting on my funky gear, I feel real cool.
I love the idea that somebody tuned in at that point and went, oh, it's John Richardson.
He's gone in a different direction, he's rapping. There's a reference.
So adorable, John.
There's a reference later on to the New Kids on the Block.
Oh,
that's the band that I'm emulating there. But there he is. And it turned out all right, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
And I've seen Oasis now. So, you know, all the problems that guy had have been put to bed. So we're looking ahead to the rest of the day on Absolute Radio. And from 2 o'clock this afternoon, rock and roll football returns for
They're
the first
back.
Time since May. The boys are back. Aww. Fordy and Dyson live from Edinburgh, where Matt Ford is performing for the month.
Lovely.
Now, last season, I would mention Leeds United and you would look blankly.
Yes.
Almost as if you didn't care about not just Leeds United, but all of football, to
all
be fair.
Football, yeah.
So we tried to bring you into it with something you are passionate about, which is cryptic crosswords.
Yeah.
So you would use a different cryptic puzzle to predict that week's football scores.
Yeah.
And I thought, since it's the opening weekend and we've had a bit of a break from it, it would be nice to go back to that for
okay.
1 week.
Okay.
So yep. You're going to tell me, I'm going to list you four of the upcoming games from this weekend.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me what you think the score is, and then I'm going to try and work out what the puzzle is that you've used to work out that score.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's right. So, I've used a little code to work out the score. I think it's gettable, this one.
Yeah?
It's loose. It's based on one we've done before, but with a slight change.
Okay, okay. So it's today's games, and just for a little bit of fun, playing on Monday night, Leeds United making their Premier League debut after a couple of seasons we don't need to talk about. Brighton and Hove Albion is first against Fulham.
That's going to be 3-0 to Brighton. And not just because I live there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. Sunderland versus West Ham United.
2 to Sunderland, 3 to West Ham United.
Whoa, good games. Mm. First match of the day.
I might get one of these right. I feel it in my bones. This is going to be the time I get one of these spot right? on, I think. Yeah.
Spurs against Burnley.
3-1 to Spurs.
Yeah, these are...
Do you think
I don't know
possible?
What this system is yet, but this is the closest we've... I mean, we've not had any 12 nils or like 14
no.
sixes.
No, they're all pretty reasonable numbers.
Now, this one is personal.
Who are Leeds playing?
Leeds are playing Everton, who've just signed Jack Grealish on loan.
Oh, I think you're going to be happy, John, because Leeds are going to beat Everton 3-2.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like a good game, doesn't it?
That sounds like a one, and I'll shake your hand on that right now.
Right.
And then, have you extrapolated this code for the whole season?
I have. And so what that tells me is that by the end of the season, there will be 3 teams at the top of the table.
Right.
And they will be Man United, Nottingham Forest, so Fordy will be pleased.
God, this is an unbearable season.
And Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Right, OK. Well, there it falls down a little bit.
You never know, John.
Can you tell me where Leeds will finish?
Leeds are sort of mid-table, I think.
Lovely.
Yeah, pretty much mid-table. Fair. They're certainly not at the bottom. The bottom will be Aston Villa and Fulham.
OK. Aston Villa and Fulham to be relegated. Leeds to be safe. Manchester United to win the league with Nottingham Forest finishing second. I mean, if that happens, we won't be doing football features. I'll tell you that now. From mid-season onwards, if Forest are top two with Manchester United, we will be discussing the World Table Tennis Championships in full. Right, had a look at your score predictions.
Yep. What do you think?
Sort of loosely, I can see that the longer words have the higher scores. So I'm speculating it's some sort of matching letters from a word.
Kind of. It's a word one. So right. You're right there. It is word-based.
So is it based on how many other kinds of words are within a word?
Yes.
Okay.
Shall I just tell you?
Yeah, we've done how many words can be made within a word, and then we've done it going backwards.
Yeah. This time it's going forwards, but it has to be 4 letters and above.
Okay. Right.
So it's words going forward in that. So, for example, in Brighton and Hove Albion, you got bright.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got veal.
Oh, yes, from Hove Albion.
Yeah. And I think Hove is a word, isn't it? I've just realised.
Like, oh, Hove Interview.
Hove Interview. So that's actually should be 4-0. That's my mistake.
Right.
And then Fulham doesn't have any. Sunderland, you've got under and land. Boring. I used a Scrabble dictionary. So there was some. So, for example, on Manchester United, Monch is a word, M-A-N-C-H-E. Esther, E-S-T-E-R. Unit, United. What else have you got? Chest.
I see. So you haven't gone through week by week then and worked out how many games that you've just done.
No, I haven't. Because
I'm going to need you to do that.
Okay, I'll do that. That's just going to take me a little bit longer, but I'll do that for you, John.
We can send you a full fixture list. That's fine. I mean, you're only moving house, having an operation and getting another tattoo. So you've got a lot on the
And I'm on tour, don't forget. That's
Is a tour starting up again?
Tour starts again in September. Tickets widely available from my website. Thank you.
You get them if you're Manchester United fans. Well, thank you for doing that. That's it for this week's show. What we need to do is give a name for the podcast.
I've got...
Which will be available wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got a scabby donkey on me.
Oh, yeah.
Is my name for the...
Yeah, that's better than mine. I've just gone for being rude and funky dudes. but you can get Scabby Donkey. That'd be a wonderful addition to the Christmas Nativity playlist as well, Scabby Donkey. A little slightly grittier performance.
Have you got it in that tune in
scabby
your head?
Scabby Donkey. I've sung it like a football anthem there. We are taking a break next week, so we will be back in 2 weeks' time. But enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the return of rock and roll football. Sarah Champion up next. Thank you very much, Will. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, John.
Take care of yourselves. Stay cool. Get the lollies out. It's goodbye from me. Goodbye from Angela. And Sarah Champion's up next.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
So there we go. That's it for this week's show. We'll be having a little break next week. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another, by which time, Angela, you'll be back out on the road on tour.
I will, yes. Starts again beginning of September in Belfast and Dublin.
There we go. Yes. So Google Angela Barnes.
Google Angela Barnes. It's all on my website. All the tickets are on there. I've got a little bit of time off in September because I've got to have my operation, but then I'm back properly on the road in October.
Oh, imagine how good she'll be then once she's had all these stones removed.
I'll be a gallbladder lighter. I'll say that again. I'll be a gallbladder lighter.
You will.
Yeah.
And you'll be back on all the booze and horrific food you've been avoiding as well. So it could go either way.
I'm sorry, John. I know you're a vegan, but I am dreaming about a steak.
Is that what you're fantasizing about? Steak?
I just want a steak. Yeah.
Describe that. I'm a terrible vegan. I like to hear about it. So describe the cut and how you're going to have
it's going to be. It's going to be a rare steak. Mm. Or I'd probably go. Oh, I don't know what cut I'd go for. Something nice and big and juicy and with a peppercorn sauce. And some fat chips.
I'm going to go and make a tofu curry now. I've got some leftovers. Thanks for listening. John at absoluteradio.co.uk. If you want to get in touch, we'll be back in a fortnight. Take care. Bye.
Bye.